Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Ready to roll?
Yes, sir.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we got a great show for you today. And if you want to call, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about a banner week Golden Boy is having. They're being sued. They lost the main event for this weekend, and they let one big fight fall through with one of their stars, Jaime Munguia. That fight fell through. We'll tell you all about it. Typical Golden Boy this week. But first, let's get started with ESPN. Edgar Berlanga versus Steve Rolls. Edgar Berlanga beat Steve Rolls by unanimous decision 96-94, 97-93 twice. This was not one of Berlanga's best fights, man. Steve Rolls is a very defensive fighter, but Berlanga seems to be just throwing one punch at a time. You know, I think he's kind of in love with his power. I think he thinks he can just get anyone out of there. Now, listen, I think Berlanga won the fight. After watching the fight, I didn't score it, but I think Berlanga won the fight, okay? But they need to get him straight because he's not going to go much further without some big changes, man. I believe that his challenges are all mental at this point because I do believe that he has the skill to be there. He's at the right place. He's got the skill. He's got the talent to be where he is. But that knockout streak that they fed him stiff after stiff didn't develop this guy at all. It did him no favors. And you're seeing the result of that when he steps up in competition. He's not ready. That being said, I think he does have the intangibles. I really do. I think he has all the intangibles. Everything's in place. But I think his problem is more mental than anything else. B, give me your thoughts.
Well, we talk about this all the time. I mean, you just look at a guy and you can tell that he's a natural fighter, very instinctive, doesn't have to really think much, very reflexive, right? Things are done on the turn of a dime, right? With Berlanga, seems like everything is forced. It seems like he thinks too much in there. His offense just doesn't flow. He loads up with shots. He throws that right hand over the top very wide, very predictable, and doesn't have the quickest feet in the world. And Tim Bradley made a great point.
Hate Tim Bradley.
I'm not crazy about Tim Bradley either, but when every now and then he does make a great point. What's up, G-Funky? Every now and then he does make a great point. And this point I think was pretty accurate. Berlanga, when he does throw the jab, he does throw it one way, same speed, you know. He's just very predictable. He telegraphs a lot of his shots. But that's the one really standout flaw, is that jab is just the same way every time. There's a lot of times when you're throwing your jab, you want to kind of change levels and bend down, and you want to move your jab around. Just throws it the same spot every –
no speed, no speed variation, nothing. Just pawed.
He might as well just say, hey, man, here comes the jab. Coming right at you. Here you go.
Here we go.
Here
number
go.
One
you
coming
ready to
at
parry
you.
It? Ready to parry my jab? Come on, boy. Here it goes. Bam. Knock it. You know, and I hate to be overly critical of him, but it just seems like the people around him, they tend to make excuses for him. Oh, well, this guy didn't come to win. He was in survival mode.
That's what they were saying.
The guy was moving. He didn't want to fight. And that's code word. That's code word to me for, I don't know, my fighter really doesn't know how to cut off the ring, or he's not great at cutting off the ring. So in this fight, I wasn't impressed. I actually scored the fight a draw. I thought that Rolls did some good work with his jab, and he was throwing a sneaky right hand every now and then, did some good body work. I thought Rolls fought a good fight. Thought he fought a good fight. I gave him the first round, and I gave him 5, 6, 7, and 8. And credit to Berlanga for coming back and winning the 9th and 10th. But he did put his foot on the gas pedal, and he put on pressure, but, you know, he didn't – even the rounds he won, he didn't really light the world on fire. Every now and then he would land a good shot, but he couldn't put the shots together. And I don't know if it's that important to try to build him up to be that big knockout guy, right? So now I think psychologically maybe, you know, he has that in his head that I got to go out there and try and knock out every guy. So he's loading up with shots, trying to look for that perfect punch instead of just letting the punches flow, right? So that's what they need to do. I mean, this may be a case of, you know, he is who he is. Like the great Customato said, people who are born round don't die square. And maybe he's just not that guy. He had a lot of hype around him. They really built him up. Now, obviously, he can punch. But once again, another guy that I'm not crazy about, as Teddy Atlas says, you know, you have to have that delivery system, right? If you don't have that delivery system, then what good is having all that power? And that's where we're at, I think, with Edgar Berlanga. So I'm not sure if he could be fixed. I mean, we may have to come to the realization of it is what it is. He is who he is, and this is what we got.
You know, it was in that first or second round, I believe it was in the first, where he caught Berlanga with an overhand right. It was a counter right hand, Steve Rolls did. And Steve Rolls put some pepper on it. I mean, it snapped his head back. I mean, it was a hard shot. And, I mean, if Rolls got shots in on this, I thought, like I said, man, I thought Berlanga did a little bit more. You know, he was, you know, but you think maybe he was a little busier, but he wasn't. Rolls threw more punches. He landed more punches. You know, I think that
close fight.
Yeah, you know, way too close. This was supposed to be a showcase fight for Berlanga against Steve Rolls, who's kind of on his way out. You know what I mean? He's not the fighter he was. You know, he's kind of creeping. He's on the dark side of his career for sure. And it didn't look good, man. It did not look like a top prospect going in there against, you know. You know, it's just not good, man.
I hate to say this because usually there's always a bright spot to our analysis. There's always a but, but there is no but here. I mean, I can't really say anything complimentary.
Right.
I can't even say anything complimentary about Berlanga, man.
That's the worst part.
Beeb is the consummate hater today on Berlanga. Bring it on, baby.
HCP, Hispanic Cause and Panic Boxing Network, says that that 16-fight first-round knockout streak was not good. That's what we said earlier. It's just it wasn't, and they're 100% right. You know, and I think, listen, man, I don't know. Maybe the kid is a little bit naive. I don't know. But maybe he, you know, like I said, when you get in that role, you think you're unstoppable, especially professional level. To knock somebody out, as we know, is very difficult to do. To flatline somebody, to stop somebody, it's very difficult to do. So he goes out there and just does 16 in a row. But these aren't 16 killers. These are 16 guys with this crazy amount of experience.
Yeah. I mean, I know how he feels. Like when I was in fourth grade.
Sure.
And I went, you know, beating up those first graders or a string of 16 of them.
Yeah,
the one time that I faced a third grader my own age. Whole different ball game.
Different ball game, wasn't it? I mean, I remember
reality
that streak.
Check.
That was impressive, though.
Reality
I think your
check,
streak
man.
Was a whole lot more impressive than Berlanga's, I got to be honest.
That's
but that's just me.
Check, right?
It's just me.
And that third grader was a girl, man. She took me out.
Yeah, but you know what? She had a lot of training, though. That wasn't just somebody you're just picking off on. She had a lot of training. I wouldn't feel too bad for that because she had a lot of training behind her.
She kicked the beam in the ball. She was a smart one.
She was very
first
smart.
Graders, they didn't have that, you know, that mental capacity to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you got to know who you're dealing with, you know. It just is what it is. Do you think, I mean, you know, so what do you do with Berlanga at this point? I heard, did he have a new corner? Did he have a new corner at this point? Or
I think they brought some people in.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if it had much of an impact.
If he doesn't have a corner, if this is the same corner, get him a new corner. Yeah, I think he just needs a different trainer because I think that he's got...
Roger is a solid guy, but...
I think so, too, but...
Maybe it's not the right,
but
the right chemistry.
They've got to change this. They've got to change his mindset now. And if you've been with that guy for 16 fights, he's not changing his mindset with you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
May not be chemistry, right?
Not a good chemistry. That's right. Shout out Fight Doctors in the chat. Shout out to Fight Doctor. Let's see here. So both of us not impressed with Berlanga at all.
Not at all.
And I mean, where does he go from here? Where do you? I don't understand. Like, where do you put him now? Like, as far as like, who do you put in front of him? Steve Rolls was a very good fighter to put him in front of. On paper.
Well, Maestro brought up a great point. He was interviewing Tim Bradley, and he said, when you look at someone like David Benavidez and you look at David Morrell Jr. They're the same age as Edgar Berlanga. And look at where they're at and how would they do against the Edgar Berlanga. I think they would wax them. I don't think either fight would be competitive. I don't think Berlanga could hang with them at all. So think about where they're all the same age, right?
Yeah.
And look at where they're at and then look at where Berlanga's at. Now could Berlanga hang with David Morrell Jr.? The Cuban super middleweight?
I don't know, man.
WBA regular super middleweight champion? That guy's solid. What would David Benavidez do to him, right? They're all 25 years old. They're all the same age.
Yeah.
They may have a few more fights than him, but...
And one was on a fast track to start him, the others weren't.
Yeah.
And there you go. And there, sometimes, it's... the streak is great, and it brings people there, but again, now... Once we find out that this guy can't go any rounds, well, we got a problem now.
Yeah.
Big problem. So I don't envy Bob Arum and the boys over there at Top Rank. Not good, man. Not good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about two parallels here, man. One's going up, one's going down. Xander Zayas versus Quincy Lavalace, I think that was how they pronounced it. Xander Zayas wins a unanimous decision by the scores of 80-71, 80-72 twice. I thought Zayas looked really good. I thought he looked the complete opposite of Berlanga here. He put a lot of pressure on Lavalace. He showed you how to take apart a defensive fighter, and that's with combinations. It's with volume. Volume takes away the defense. It really does. Because your defense, you're going to look for counters and everything like that. When you're just overwhelmed with volume, it's not going to you're going to force him to fight outside of his pace at that point because he's going to know he's losing. You know what I mean? He's got to throw more punches, whether they're effective or ineffective. He's going to have to throw more punches to win this fight. Just took him right out of his comfort zone. It was a beautiful thing to watch. He throws combinations constantly. Never throws one and done, which is what we were seeing with Berlanga in the first fight. I'm going to be honest here. I don't think he has very few flaws in his game. Zayas does. He needs experience.
Yeah.
But I think, honestly, this kid looks like a supermodel. I mean, he really does. He looks like you put him on the cover of a Wheaties box or something. This kid could really be like the next Miguel Cotto. I think he could be bigger than Miguel Cotto from a marketing sense. He's really one of those guys. That's got it all. And as long as they keep moving him the way they're moving him, give him a title shot when he's ready. Don't rush him. When he's ready, I think it's going to be I think he's the guy, man. I really do.
He's young. He's got potential. Does throw a lot of punches. Does throw punches and punches. Does put the shots together. But one thing that I noticed yesterday was he was missing a lot of shots. And – he was in there with a crafty guy.
Yeah,
was
very defensive guy. Yeah, very defensive.
Moving his
guy.
Head a lot. So one thing I think he has to work on is, if a guy's moving a lot and he's slicking, he's dipping and ducking and he's, getting low and getting underneath. You got to learn to punch where you believe his head is going to be. So if he's constantly moving, don't throw at the moving target. Throw where the target's going to end up. meet him at that point. Because I thought when he had him up against the ropes and he was throwing a lot of punches, a lot of those punches were missing. And I think what he needed to do was he needed to, you know, time the movement better, right? And, you know, hit him where the head is going to be after the head's being moved. That's what I thought he could have done better.
Yeah.
You know?
HCP disagrees. They said he landed like 48% of his shots, B.
I mean, I don't know who was counting the fingers. if D-Style was on his couch with a beer in one hand, bag of chips on his lap, and a punch counter in his left hand, and all the power to him. All right? I wasn't sitting there counting his punch. And I didn't have my calculator, and I wasn't fucking doing the arithmetic at the end of it.
Is it true that you don't really care for Xander Zayas? That you're kind of overly critical against Xander Zayas?
FaceTimed him the other day.
Are you a little overly critical of Xander Zayas?
I FaceTimed him the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Wished him luck.
So you kind of wished him luck to his face and then just kind of trashed him today? Or how does that work? He's cold blooded.
There's only one person I do that to. And his initials are RH.
Do you think potentially he has a chance to be one of the biggest Puerto Rican stars out there? Is this guy like Oscar De La Hoya level as far as fame goes?
Listen, got a lot of potential. Do I want to say that now? I think it's a little too early to say that now.
Potential. Does he have the potential to do it?
He does have the potential.
Does he have the potential?
He does have the potential. And Top Rank, you know, does a great job with these young guys.
Yeah.
Right? They did a great job with Cotto. They did build Cotto up nice.
Yeah.
You know? So can they market Xander Zayas and make him a star? I think so. I think so.
Yeah, I think so too, man. Like I said, I think he's right on the edge of this, man. I really do. He's right on the edge of just being like this breakout star. You're looking at D-Style's comment.
Listen, I'm ambidextrous, baby. I can multitask. Just like you can. Bear in one hand, chips on the left, and punch counter with the left. He's like, just counting the punches. Hey, honey, grab me a beer. I'm counting the punches. I can't get up right now.
In between rounds. Hang on. We got one more minute here.
Honey, bring me a piss jar. I'm counting punches. I don't want to go to the bathroom right now.
He's got one of those urinals or whatever. That's how I watch the fights. I don't care.
Oh, God.
That's how I watch them, buddy. All right. Let's talk about, first of all, number one, ESPN. All right, I can't stand ESPN's coverage. First of all, they were bumped, all right, within like 10, 15 minutes by college wrestling. Let that marinate for a minute. College wrestling, okay? College wrestling is bigger than boxing right now, okay? That lets you know everything. And how do I know it's bigger than boxing? Because they preempted boxing to keep this on. That's how I know, all right? That's how I know. It's bigger than boxing, according to ESPN, yes.
Is boxing a niche sport?
Listen, man, my wife was very blunt with me the other day when she told me that nobody cares about boxing on the planet except for a few people. I'm starting to believe her because apparently this is a niche sport. I thought this was a huge sport that, like, everybody followed, and I'm, like, sorely disappointed when they're like, boxing? No, nobody watches boxing. And, like, you know, you talk to people and nobody watches boxing. It's insane. Yes, it is a good sport.
When you talk to someone at your job and you say, hey, man, do you like boxing? Is that job that they do at Amazon, boxing packages?
Packages, yeah, packages.
Then you know you have a problem.
We got a big problem here. We got a huge problem. It's unreal.
Yeah, I think those guys do a great job.
Tony Ayo says, won the card on ESPN Plus. Yeah, but I had it set to record ESPN. And then it runs out. I had to watch the other one back on YouTube. I just switched to YouTube and watched it. The Berlanga fight, like right around the fourth round, it cut out because the time wasn't enough. I put extra time on there. Listen, they suck.
Let me just help you out here, though. technically, all you had to do was go to the ESPN app.
I get that. I get
you
that.
You could have watched the archive the next day.
I get it.
I think you're overcomplicating this.
First of all, I'm not overcomplicated because really, I should just be able to sit down in front of my big TV and hit the button and watch it. No problem.
You're sounding like Robbie a little
Shouldn't
bit
Shouldn't that
now.
Be the way it is?
This is something
because
Robbie
I look
would
at
say.
The guide and it says boxing. I say, you know what? I'm going to record that and I'm going to watch it later. So when I watch it, I expect a full program on there. That's right. That's how I'm living now. Yeah. There you go.
2022.
Telling you.
We have what's called apps now. Could have went back and watched it on the app, honey.
What did you think of Tim Bradley's commentary? I think he always dumps on the fighters. He's too harsh.
Tim Bradley is trying to be like Teddy Atlas. Simple and plain.
What's wrong with Teddy Atlas? I don't think there's anything wrong with Teddy Atlas. I wish Tim Bradley could be more like Teddy Atlas.
He's trying to be that shock jock like Teddy Atlas. Say those outlandish things just to get a reaction.
I don't think Teddy Atlas said any outlandish things.
Well, that's why he's not on ESPN anymore, okay?
So they pick up Tim Bradley. He's much better.
That's why he's doing that podcast with Ken Bareback, or Rideout, whatever his name is.
Did you say Ken Bareback? What's the matter with you? It's a family show. What's the matter with you? Not all.
Oh, my God. That guy's the worst, Ken Rideout. Oh, my God. He's such a cornball.
Wasn't UFC was in London last night? Eddie Hearn was there? Did you see that?
Was he?
He was talking to Dana White. Yeah, he was talking to Dana White over there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was like first row and everything like that in London. Craziness.
Wow.
All right, let's talk about the zone here. Blair the Flair Cobbs, friend of the show, versus Alexis Roca. Alexis Roca wins via ninth round TKO over Blair Cobbs. Look, man, Roca did really well in this fight. He was patient early on, and then he turned it up in the middle rounds, man. He looked good. He really did. He was able to catch Cobbs because he was throwing just tons of combinations all night, man. This guy just put a lot of pressure on him, man. Throwing a lot of punches. Cobbs would avoid quite a few, but he was also getting hit with quite a few, you know. He got touched up. He got dropped in the eighth round. It was beautiful. The guy was trying to, you know, avoid all these punches on the ropes, had his hands down, and just got clipped with the right hand, man. He caught him clean, too. Got back up. Ninth round came, and Roca just jumped all over him, ended up stopping the fight, man. Were you surprised? Were you surprised here? I was surprised.
Well, a little bit. I thought the fight was going to go the distance. I thought the fight was going to be competitive. I actually thought, Blair the Flair had a chance to win this fight. But here's the thing. When you look at guys who have Blair the Flair style, right? If you're a mover, you're an in-and-out ambush type guy, right? There's always going to be a time when you're going to run out of ring. And you're going to get caught up against the ropes or in the corner somewhere. And you're either going to have a little bit of inside game to your arsenal, or you're going to have to learn how to hold and freeze the action. Blair the Flair didn't have either one of those things. I mean, if you're not like at least Amir Khan, he wasn't a great inside fighter, but he knew how to neutralize guys when they got close to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He could freeze the action.
Ali did the same thing, you know, obviously. So if you're not a great inside fighter, if that's not your thing, then you got to figure out a way to nullify a guy when he gets close to you, whether it be holding, whether it be just turn him. You know, you got to do something. You just can't sit there and think that you're going to be able to catch all those shots and block all those shots or whatever, because there's only so many of those shots you're going to block. And, you know, he found that out the hard way. So that's something he may have to work on. But, you know, it's tough.
What is he, 34?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough to go back and rework anything at this point.
Yeah. But, I mean, if he could figure out how to kind of slow someone down when they get it close to him like that. But, you know, Roca did a great job, man. He did a great job.
He's a good fighter. He's a really good fighter.
And that's a guy who was throwing punches where he thought Blair Cobbs was going to be. Like, Blair Cobbs would move, and he would meet, you know, catch him. He would catch him where his head was after he moved it.
That right hand in the eighth round, that was a killer.
Yeah.
I'm seeing 32. He's 32, I guess, Blair Cobbs. Okay. But still, I mean, it's still a lot. It's a big ask to now go back to the gym and retool and try to relearn something when you've done this for X amount of fights, 15 fights, or whatever he's got under his belt now, however many fights he's got. It's tough.
Yeah.
Tony Yeo said Roca's only 24. Yeah, I get it. But, you know, I mean, you're in the business. You're going to fight younger guys. It just is what it is.
Yeah. Once Roca figured him out, that was all she wrote.
That was it.
You know?
That was it.
All she wrote.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, and I like Cobbs. I like his gimmick and everything like that. I think he does a good job. I think he's good for the sport. But, man, it's going to be tough now. I mean, people have, you know, kind of blueprints kind of been laid out there.
Yeah.
So he's got to
get in his
difficult.
Yeah. You got to get in his chest. You got to go to the body, get in his chest, take his legs away.
Yeah.
Don't give him room to breathe. Don't let him move. Time him on the way in. You know, when he comes in, you take that step back and let him run into your shot. And then when he goes back out to reset, you follow him. I mean, that's pretty much what you do with an ambush guy.
It's tough. And I wonder how long he's actually been fighting.
I don't know, like 4 or 5 years now, maybe.
I mean, was he late to the dance here?
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, that's the difference, man. Like if you know, these guys have been fighting since they were what, 6, 7 years old, something stupid, you know? I mean, you come up against guys like that, and even if you're better than them and you beat them, they have all kinds of this experience and everything like that. It's tough. It's really tough, you know.
Freddie Roach gave him some bad advice, and this is one thing I don't like about Freddie Roach. And obviously he's got great accolades as a trainer. And you criticize someone like that, everyone's going to be like, what are you, an idiot? Look what he's done, blah, blah, blah. But he thinks that everyone that he trains is an aggressive, strong, punching fighter that can push the guy back. Tells everyone the same thing. You got to step in with the 1-2 and push him back. You got to push him back, move forward, push him back. He wasn't pushing that guy back. Should have told him was, you got to jab, and you got to step around him, and you got to create punching angles for yourself, stand in front of the guy, right? You don't have to move as much, but you got to be consistent with the jab. Don't try to land it perfectly. Just keep touching him. Try to stop that forward momentum, and then when he comes forward, take that little step around him, create that punching angle. Don't stand in front of the guy. Don't give the guy center mass. Don't give him your torso, right? But all Freddie was just telling him, bro, you're going to back him up, throw your jab, step in with the 1-2 and back this guy. No, that wasn't going to work against this guy. That was a wrong strategy against this guy. All right?
Let's see here. Reese Mack says Cobb has more athleticism and heart than skill. I would go along with that. I would absolutely go along with that. Well, especially last night. You know, I mean, clearly he was beaten by a more skilled fighter, and you could see the skill difference there. Especially when he tried to avoid the way Roca cut off the ring, everything like that. I mean, there was definitely a skill gap there. And is it possible that he's able to fill that gap with training now? Can he relearn what he needs to know to further himself? That's the tough part about this whole thing. It'll be real tough for him to do that. Does he have, he'll be able to do it in training. Will he be able to do it when somebody's throwing, you know, punches at his face in a real fight?
What I would tell Cobbs is more movement isn't always better.
Yeah.
Shorten up this movement a little bit. Make this movement, more subtle, right? Make it more purposeful.
Yeah.
And don't take yourself so far out of range, right, where you have to take so much time to get yourself back into an offensive position. Because all that excessive movement, number one, tires you out. It's not purposeful. It's wasted energy, right? And you're taking yourself out of range to counter, right?
That's the worst part.
It's okay to move, right? We're not going to ask you to sit there and slug it out. We're not going to turn you into Antonio Margarito. That's not what we're going to do here. But stay within an arm's length. Shorten up the movement a little bit and turn the guy, try to create some punching angles for yourself, and for God's sakes, throw that jab.
Yeah.
Just throw that jab. You're a tall, long guy. Use that length, right? Use that length.
should have been his week. You know, we had the main event drop out. He got promoted to the main event. His fight got promoted to the main event. He was pretty much, I mean, that's all I heard about all week was Blair Cobbs this, Blair Cobbs that. He was talking a lot, doing his thing, you know, promoting the fight, doing a great job,
roasted.
By the way.
He was getting roasted on social media after he got knocked out.
Yeah, that's a tough way to go, man. He was mad about it. He said, hey, man, he gave the guy all the props in the world and everything like that.
Yeah.
And he knows at the end of the day it's a gimmick, you know what I mean? It's something to get noticed. We're talking about him, you know, and that's never bad. But at the same time, I get it. You're going to take some heat for it. And I think he knows that. I really do. I think he knows that.
He's a good guy, man.
I think so.
I think he does things in a playful way. I don't think he's a distasteful guy. Some people don't like him, but I think he's okay.
Well, you know, Colby Covington, the UFC guy.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between the way he talks and the way Blair Cobbs talks, put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Colby Covington's just – he's
mean. Talking about people's family.
Yeah, he goes too low, man.
Yeah, talking about people's family and their wives and kids. And like.
For me, anyways. To me, he's a little bit too distasteful.
Yeah, to me he's okay, but that's just me though.
One of my favorite trash talkers was Prince Nassim Hamed. I used to love him. I used to laugh my ass off when he'd do those interviews.
He's a trip, man. He's a trip.
Damn, Larry, I'm looking good. I fucking love that.
So I mentioned that Blair Cobbs and Roka were promoted to the main event here. Virgil Ortiz was actually the main event. Who was he fighting? Somebody named McKinnon?
Like McKinnison or something.
Mike
like that,
McKinnon yeah. or whatever. I don't know. It doesn't matter because you'll never hear that guy's name again.
It doesn't matter.
The only reason you were hearing his name is because you were hearing Virgil Ortiz's name, all right?
Correct.
You'll never hear from this guy again. And incidentally, he did win on the undercard. He won by knockout, I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, the views of Eric Water. are not shared by the views of Joe B.
or the
staff here at Ringside.
Lois and the staff at Ringside.
I don't want McKinnison's fans to be calling me up saying, what's going on with that guy over there taking shock?
Well, if they call me, I'll direct them to Eric, and I'll give him the number from in Boston, you know. Yeah, he was ripping you up. I don't know what was going on.
339 number, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Give him that Boston area code. Let's see here. Virgil Ortiz was in the main event but was dropped due to medical reasons. Now, listen, man, I heard, I don't know how true it is, Steve Kim had come out and said on Twitter or whatever, or on social media, that he heard that he showed up to camp way overweight. Way overweight. What that means, I don't know. As far as poundage or whatever, I don't know. But apparently, I guess he tried to lose too much weight too fast and then got some kidney stuff going on or had to be put in the hospital. That ain't good, man. That is not good. Not good.
Not a good look, man.
No. No. Not even a little bit. Blair Cobbs had actually wanted to fight McKinnon, I guess, instead of Roka. I don't know if it would have worked out better for him or not. Probably, I mean, since he lost, it couldn't work out worse, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, so... Probellum had a card this weekend that absolutely nobody saw. At least I didn't see it. Sonny Edwards versus Muhammad Wasim for the IBF Flyweight Championship. Edwards wins unanimous, 115-111 twice and 116-110. Regis Prograis versus Tyrone McKenna. I would have liked to have seen this fight, but again, not televised. Regis stopped McKenna in the sixth round. Apparently looked pretty good, Steve. I think we talked about this a little bit. I tell you what, man, I think Prograis may have made a mistake. I guess, you know, jury's still out. I don't know. But going to Probellum, when he fights, he should be on TV. No question about it.
Yeah.
Him being televised over in England or whatever ain't going to do much for him. It's just not. I mean, he's an American fighter. Should be televised here because all the other guys are American fighters in his division, you know, because he's going to move up. I think he's going to move up sooner rather than later, you know, and yeah, they're all going to be Americans there. So
yeah,
I don't know, man. But you know, when he fights, he needs to be on TV. The fact that Sonny Edwards, when he fights, he needs to be on TV. I don't know. The big one this weekend, Beeb. This was the one I think you and I were looking forward to the most. Am I right? Thor Bjornsson, the Mountain from Game of Thrones versus Eddie Hall, Steady Eddie Hall. Thor beats Eddie Hall by unanimous decision. Scores were 57-54. All three judges, unanimous. It was unanimous. How big was this fight? My brother-in-law, who doesn't watch boxing, he's usually like UFC, real casual, texted me, says, did you see that fight? Are you watching this fight? I said, what are you talking about? You know, and he was like, Thor versus Eddie. I was like, no, is that on today? I was like, because I, you know, you'd see build up and stuff like that for him, but I'm like, I had no idea it was on this weekend. I wasn't really interested, you know. But then I saw it, I was like, all right, let me go check it out, you know. Phew, stuff like that sells. Like stuff, you know, I mean, it sells. What did you think? I thought that both guys should probably stick to powerlifting.
Thor is a legend, man. Did you see that left hand? Like Mjolnir, like Thor's Mjolnir, the hammer with that left hand. I mean, you got to – how could anyone have thought Thor was going to lose? This guy survived a poisonous spear from Oberyn Martell. He was stabbed with a poisonous spear, came back to life, right? And he was fighting armies. No one could mess with this guy. So how was he ever going to lose a boxing match? Think about that.
Thank you for 30 seconds of my life that I will never get back.
Think about that for a second. Oberyn Martell stabbed him with a poisonous spear, and he couldn't take him out. So how could Eddie Hall have taken him out? Be honest. Yeah, this is the guy that caved in Teofimo Lopez's chest.
Yeah, that's right. So what is he, 2-0 now?
Smart.
Huh?
He smashed Teofimo. How smart was that? You see how he was knocking Eddie Hall down with that left hand at will with a glove on, and this friggin' knucklehead lets him punch him bare-fisted.
I tell you what, yeah. I'm more amazed at how big these dudes are. So what was he, 330 or something like that? He was like 330 pounds, not an ounce of fat on this guy?
6'8", 323, shredded.
Yeah. Eddie Hall was what? I don't know. He was 310, 315 or something crazy?
6'1 and a half, 313.
And that guy didn't look like he was too chubby either. I mean, he was a big guy. I mean, just kind of muscled up and everything like that.
Yeah.
You think these guys were on steroids? You think it's all natural?
The views of Eric Lloyd are not shared by Joe
Hagee. I'm asking a question.
And the staff here at Ringside
Report.
From
Boston.
I'm asking a question, man. Like, I think
I
they're
plead
probably
the
all
fifth.
Natural. I think they're probably all
I
natural.
I plead the
you
fifth.
You know what I mean?
I plead the fifth.
Because I think that's just hard work. I mean, just hard work and the right supplements, you can get that big, right? I mean, like, you can get that big. That's just hard work and supplements. Yeah. Easy stuff. Easy stuff, man. All right, let's go. Hey, you know what? Robert's on the line. Let's get him on here. Let's see what he thought of the fights last night. See if he watched the Eddie Hall fight.
Hello, guys.
Squirrel. Robbie.
Hello, guys.
Robert.
How are
What's
you?
We're good.
Oh,
not,
Rob, how you doing?
Not much. And, Joe, I couldn't agree with you more. You're on point this week with Edgar Berlanga. You know what the problem is with him?
He said the same thing I did.
Well, no. You know what the problem with him is? He got so much publicity from Top Rank and ESPN for that knockout streak. They automatically think they have a built-in contender, and each time he steps up in class, he shows more and more weaknesses. But he still manages to win fights. I don't think ESPN or Top Rank is going to be convinced that they have a problem on their hands until he actually loses a fight. So I have a feeling that they're going to continue to increase his level of competition, and he's not going to be ready for it.
Robbie, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Didn't you think that fight was pretty close, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty close. I thought the judges didn't give Steve Rolls credit for the work he was doing.
I added a draw.
Yeah, I didn't actually score that, but I could see a draw. I could see, you know, a 6-4 kind of fight. I don't see 8-2, 9-1, or whatever they came up with as far as scorecards are concerned. You know.
Yeah.
Eric, and you guys are right on Xander Zayef. He's the real deal. He's gonna do just fine. However, I don't think he's gonna stay at 154 much longer. I think he's gonna be going up to middleweight sooner rather than later.
Why?
Really?
Yep. Because I think his body is going to dictate that. You know, because he's only 19 years old.
Don't you stop going at 19, though?
You stop growing as far as height, but you gain more weight, you know, when you get older. And I think he's going to build into somebody that's going to do quite well, say in the middleweight division, maybe super middleweight eventually. But I don't see him staying at 154 too much longer.
Are you the same weight, Robbie, now than you were in high school?
Yeah, because of the fact I was born 3 months premature. I was born small to begin with, and I stopped growing at 14 years old. I've been the same size since then. My metabolism doesn't allow
me. You can always eat more. Don't you eat more?
I eat more, but my body doesn't allow me to gain weight. So.
Yeah, he stays in shape, Pete.
Oh, do you got a tapeworm?
It's a matter.
I've had doctors try to, you need to eat more. I'm like, look, I'm telling you, this is how my body works. And finally, after going to a doctor, especially if I've got to switch doctors, finally, after going to a doctor for a year, and I come back and I'm the same size, they go, "Oh, okay, I see that your thing's not going to change." I've had doctors over the years try to increase my diets and what have you, and I can eat as much as I want, but I never gain weight.
Wow! Is it just you have a high metabolism?
Yeah, very high. Mm-hmm. And
how many times do you eat a day, Robert?
At least three times a day. But the point is, I can eat three times a day, I can snack, but my weight will always stay the same.
Probably taking diuretics or something.
No.
What is wrong with you?
Joe, I'm talking about myself, I'm telling people the truth, and you make a smart aleck comment like that. That's not cool.
You know? I agree with you, Robert. I agree with it. That's why I called him out.
Take me to court then, all right?
I called him out like that, Robert.
What are you going to do, take me to court? Defamation of character? What is this?
No, because you're doing defamation of character on the World Wide Web, brother. So, you know. Heck,
that's right.
I don't need
that's
to do
right.
That.
You tell him, Robert.
Yeah.
You tell him HIPAA laws. That's right.
Violation.
Look that up in Beebe's handbook.
As far as the whole Ortiz situation, I don't know what's going on there, but you've got to ask yourself a question. You're 18-0 with 18 knockouts. Your promoter finally got you a fight. Maybe it's not the fight you wanted, but, you know, to pull out for something like this, I hope it's just something that he tried to do too fast and, you know, he can get over it. Bernard Hopkins said last night on the telecast, he'll be fighting in May. If you're dealing with what they say he's dealing with, I don't think he'll be fighting in May.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
He's not fighting in May, bro.
No. So.
Ooh, okay, so you're talking about Ortiz. Ortiz was in the hospital, son.
Yeah, I know all that.
Well, he just didn't like the matchup. He was in the hospital.
I know that, Eric.
He's sick. Sick man, Robert.
Well, what Robbie was saying was he was talking about Bernard Hopkins saying he was going to be back in May, and I think he was questioning. I don't want to be Robbie's mouthpiece, but he's not always the greatest in articulating his points. But I think he was trying to say that Bernard Hopkins said he's going to be back in May, and he was questioning himself whether he'd be back in May.
I don't think that's the case. If the condition is as serious as they say it is,
what he's trying to say, Eric.
What is it? I thought it was just like, you know, just a simple weight cut or whatever. You know, like
you
cut too much weight or whatever, and then he ends up in the hospital.
They say he's got some kind of blood condition of some kind.
He had a rare condition, but it could be caused through overexertion. Sometimes it's caused by trauma. It's weird, but they're speculating it was because he was losing so much
He was working so hard to lose the weight that he put so much stress on his system, and that could have. Who knows if it's hereditary or what it was,
wow.
and just by putting his body through that added stress, it could have exacerbated it. Who knows? Who knows?
With a situation like this, guys, you've got to question his dedication to his craft, because most fighters, especially on his level, will keep themselves in somewhat of a normal kind of shape. If you ballooned up between fights, that's on you, man.
It could have been a different circumstance. Maybe he got sick. We don't know all the circumstances behind it. Is this a normal thing? Yeah, I mean, is this a normal thing? Is this, yeah.
Right.
You gotta be careful with that, Robbie, because you don't know the whole story, man.
That's true, but, you know.
I know you like to trash fighters all the time, man, but this ain't the time to do that.
It does raise questions, though, guys, you know.
Robbie?
Yes.
Don't try to be a conspiracy theorist, all right?
This ain't
TMZ, brother.
TMZ. Hey, be more scientific in the chat. It's real sensitive to this whole topic here.
I'm not trying to be TMZ, babe. Come on. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not with this, man.
give me a break.
You're worse than those girls on The View with all that. Those girls on The View with the gossip.
I don't think anybody's worse than those girls on The View.
I hate
those
that show.
Those
Get
girls
out of
are
here
horrible,
with that.
Aren't they?
Those girls are horrible. You'd be great on that show.
Who, me?
Whoopi, what do you think?
I'll
do that show for
not,
the money. Are you kidding me?
You know, come
he'll
on.
He'll be sitting at the end of the table. This is what he'll do. Eric, this is Robbie at the end of the table.
No.
Robbie at the end of the table on The View. Well, you know what? I agree with Whoopi.
I wouldn't be on that show. Are you nuts? They couldn't pay me enough.
I agree with Karen.
So if they offered you like a season for it, and say you're getting what? How many? $20,000 an episode or something like that? You ain't going to take that?
No.
That's bullshit.
That's bullshit.
I would go on Captain Kangaroo for $20,000 an episode.
I'd do it for $50. You know what I'm saying? That's how I'm living.
Lisa better get you under control, Eric. That's all I got to say.
Whoa.
It's got me on a short leash these days, Robert. I tell you what.
Yeah. Lisa, whatever you're doing, keep up your good work.
All right, Robert, we're going to get running here, man. I'm going to put
right,
you on hold here. Hold on.
See
ya. I get lost. Tom Brady's coming out of retirement. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that was the longest 2 weeks of his life, huh? I guess he went home and saw his kids, had a look at his wife, and said, I'm coming back to football.
I forgot to ask Robbie about that.
He's married to, Giselle or whatever? How does he go home and say, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore?
You know what the crazy thing about the whole thing was? If you looked at his stats for last year's season,
yeah,
he was, like, leading the league in, like, what, passing touchdown? Like, he was leading the league in so many categories, man.
I guarantee his wife got in his head. I guarantee you, this was not his idea. He never really seemed on board with it.
No.
You know what I mean? He never seemed on board with it. Just his demeanor and everything like that. He never really seemed on board. I know. So I guarantee his wife planted this in his head. The women are trouble. Is it Beeb?
The views of Eric Lloyd are not shared by Joe Habib or the staff here at Ringside Reporter and Beeb Industries.
All right, let's look at the upcoming fights here. I'm going to put a disclaimer on the show, say it does. These views do represent them, you know. March 26th, I believe this is next Saturday. Yeah, I believe it is next Saturday. Las Vegas on ESPN. Make sure you watch it on the app because if you record it on regular TV, you know, maybe you get it, maybe you don't. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you get college wrestling again instead. I don't know. Miguel Burchelt versus Jeremiah Nakatila, 10 rounds lightweights. Jose Enrique Vivas versus Enrique Baez, 10 rounds featherweights. Just all right for me. You know what I mean? Just all right for me. Nothing major. March 26th, Saturday, from Leeds, England, on DAZN. This is the fight to watch this weekend, man. Kiko Martinez versus Josh Warrington for Martinez's IBF featherweight title. This is going to be a fight, man.
Good fight.
I cannot wait for this fight. I really can't, man.
Good fight.
Maxie Hughes versus Ryan Walsh on the undercard there, 12 rounds lightweights. And then Maria Cecilia Roman versus Ebony Bridges, 10 rounds for the Roman's IBF women's bantamweight title. How about she gets a title shot?
Two title shots.
How about that? How about she gets a title shot, man?
Oh, my God.
Jeez, I give her a title shot, you know what I'm saying?
Whoa!
All right. She can fight for one of these belts back here, you know what I'm saying?
Please.
I'm doing it. March 26th, Minneapolis on Showtime. This is going to be a real good one, too. Tim Zhu versus Terrell Gachet, 12 rounds, junior middleweights. That is going to be a fight. That is going to be the one, man. That's a good fight. The other two on that card, not so much. Michelle Rivera versus Joseph Adorno, 10 rounds lightweights, and Elvis Rodriguez versus Juan Jose Velasco, 10 rounds junior welterweights. Only one I'm interested on there, and that's the main one, Tim Zhu versus Terrell Gachet. Yeah.
Gachet can fight too, man.
Gachet's very good. Gachet, former Olympian.
He's a crafty guy.
I believe he's from Ohio, Deeb. I believe he is, but I could be wrong. Could
Ohio's
be wrong.
Got some good fighters, brother.
Yeah, we do.
Kelly Pavlik.
Yeah.
Aaron Pryor.
Ray Mancini.
Ezra
Charles. Adrian Bronner. Nuke Warren. Three-time Olympian. What?
That's right.
When I said Adrian Bronner, you just kind of shut down. It's cold.
Glaze over him.
Ah, that's cold-blooded, man. There's also a fight in Dubai, but there's a big card in Dubai, but Austin Trout's on the card. I can't believe he's still fighting. Marcos Maidana is on the card. How about that?
Oh, no. He's coming back, huh?
Yeah, looks like it's sixth round. He's fighting a six-rounder.
Oh, my God.
And he's like third down the list. Mike Perez versus Vasil Dukar, 12 rounds cruiserweights. Whatever. Yeah, feeling it. There's not much coming down the pike here.
Yeah, but April. Strap yourself in for April. April is a sick month.
Oh, you're talking about that April 9th fight with Michaela Mayer and Jennifer Hahn, that one?
Well, you got...
You got Golovkin's on that same weekend, so that'll be...
You got Spence, you got...
Yeah.
Spence versus Ugas, you got Fury versus White.
April's going to heat up, man. April's going to heat up. Are you excited about the one fight, the two girls? Who them two girls fighting in New York?
Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
Amanda
yeah.
Serrano.
Yeah, you excited for that?
Very excited. That's in April, too.
April 30th.
Then you got Oscar Valdez versus Shakur Stevenson.
That's on the same night. That's on the same night, son.
I'll probably DVR that one, and I'll watch the female fight, I should say.
Guess which one I'm DVRing, son. Guess which one.
Yeah. Well, you'll be able to watch the female fight, I think.
On the zone, yeah. The one is on the zone, so.
The one that's on the zone will probably go off before the Shakur Stevenson-Valdez fight will.
Yeah, I still may not watch it until the next day or something.
You're not going to watch it? Come on.
I'm not that interested in it.
Come on, Eric.
Yeah, what to do?
It's a big fight, man. Come on.
It's not that big of a fight.
A great fight.
Yeah. Great 20 minutes there.
Come on.
It is. It's a great 20 minutes. I said that, you know?
Please.
You're looking forward to it, huh? Who do you think's going to win that fight?
Katie Taylor's going to pull it out.
I'd like to see Katie Taylor win, but I think Amanda Serrano's going to win that fight.
Do you really?
I do. I do. I think Serrano's going to win that fight. I think that, you know, watching Serrano fight, she's very schooled. She's, like, very well schooled.
She's a great fighter.
She's got power, and she's very well schooled. She's like
she's
a
slick.
Textbook. Yeah. She's very textbook. I don't like her husband. And I guess that's her trainer or whatever. I think he's a loudmouth. He was the one that was taunting that girl when she was out, getting carried out on a stretcher or whatever. I don't
know. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, man. He just needs to shut up, man, and show some class.
I'm not a fan of that.
No, but I think overall, man, I think she's got the goods. I'd like to see Katie Taylor win. I think that it's going to go the other way, though. Really do.
I'll be honest with you. I love Katie Taylor, but I don't dislike Amanda Serrano either.
No, I don't dislike her either.
You know?
Oh, I'm not hating on her. All right, let's talk about the news and rumors this week, man. Jaime Munguia and Charlo, the talks fell through. Jamal, okay. These talks went south because of TV rights. These two were supposed to fight, go south because of TV rights. Showtime or DAZN was supposed to show the fight, right? So this is coming from Mike Coppinger from ESPN. Charlo, who was aligned with PBC, and Munguia, who was promoted, of course, by Golden Boy, agreed on financial terms for each boxer, sources said. But the broadcast rights became a sticking point. Showtime, one of the two broadcast partners, along with Fox, PBC's two broadcast partners, was set to televise the 160-pound title fight on pay-per-view. However, Golden Boy insisted that DAZN be involved with the stateside cast. PBC offered Golden Boy the TV rights in Mexico and in the UK, where DAZN is popular. However, Golden Boy officials did not respond by a noon Pacific time deadline to close the deal, sources said.
If I'm Munguia.
What in the world?
If I'm Munguia, I am fucking furious.
Livid. I am
furious.
Livid.
Because that's a great fight. Golden Boy is a fucking mess right now, bro. They're
right.
A fucking mess.
They really are.
I mean, what's going on? Like, they haven't promoted a big fight in a long time. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least PBC, they've had, like, some big fights, man. You know, they're having Spence versus Ugas. They had freaking Fury versus Wilder, right?
It's Oscar, man. I'm telling you, it's Oscar.
They did freaking Canelo versus Plant. 800,000 pay-per-view buys. I mean, Bob Arum's got Fury versus White. I'm like, everyone's got big fights. Eddie Hearn's got big fights. What's going on with Golden Boy?
He's over there posing Instagram models. He's over there posing with his birthday party with cake all over his face and his girl in a bikini and everything like that.
You know what would be the best
get
thing
your mind
for him
on, you know, get your mind on business, man.
Yeah. You know what would be the best thing for him to do right now? Sell his company to Eddie Hearn. Because Eddie Hearn can do much better for those guys than De La Hoya can.
I would agree.
Imagine
that.
Imagine connecting Matchroom with Golden Boy Fighter, having those two
having
stables
that pipeline
merge.
Now open up. You
yeah,
know
imagine
I mean?
That would be incredible, having those two stables merge together. How awesome would that be?
And I think Eddie Hearn has got the backing financially to do that.
Of course. It's his own. They're all in his own anyways. Sell your company, bro. I mean, he's not competent enough. Like he can't run that company, bro.
No, but I mean, he's not. You know, I mean, this is a big fight, and this was a very makeable fight. You know, if you had to choose an A side here, you got to go with Charlo, no? Over Munguia? I would think so. Charlo's been on pay-per-view. He's been on national TV.
He's a champion. Yeah.
He's a champion. I think you gotta concede he is the A side.
Yeah.
Maybe not by a whole lot, but he is the A side, right?
Sure. I would concede that. Yeah.
So you get this, and then the next one, you know, if you got a rematch clause, that's on DAZN. Whatever.
It's a winnable fight.
That is what stuck this fight, right? The fact that you two morons couldn't decide what channel to put this on, that is what stopped this fight?
I'm going to be honest.
Are we for real here? Am I hallucinating? This is true, right? I don't understand.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you, right? So it would make more sense to put this on Showtime pay-per-view than to put it on DAZN.
I believe it was going to be on Showtime. I don't even know that it was going to be on Showtime pay-per-view.
Yeah, and if you give DAZN the Mexican and UK broadcast, that's where you're going to get the most views.
That's huge, right?
Right? What is wrong with that?
No idea.
That's a head scratcher, to say the least. I
no
was
idea.
Disappointed.
They
that's
agree. If you're a fighter, baby, if you're a fighter and you agreed to terms, and he agreed to terms, and it fell through because of this, because your promoter didn't answer the bell.
You watch, he's going to leave. I'm going to tell you this.
Crazy?
Right, Roger Ortiz is going to end up leaving Golden Boy, and so is Jaime Munguia. I'm telling you right now, they're all going to leave. They're all going to leave because they're not getting fights.
Nope. Not getting the fights they need.
They're
That's a good fight. That was a huge fight. And then De La Hoya a couple of days ago said, you know, my big priority, shout out to Tony Boswell. Thank you so much, brother. He says, my big priority is making sure this fight, the Charlo and Munguia fight, happened. 2 days later, it's off the table. Explain that to me.
It's ridiculous.
I don't understand, you know? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
I was pissed off, bro.
I was too. When I heard that, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I was like, how on earth did they not make this happen? Especially when both fighters agree on the purse. That's usually the sticking point. You know what I mean? That's usually the sticking point. How much are we going to get paid? Well, how come he's getting paid more and I'm getting paid less, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
None of that. That was out of the way. That's the hard part.
Hardest part's the money.
Hardest part. Right.
The money.
You are supposed to represent your fighter, not yourself.
Produce your responsibility to
fighter.
The fighter.
Your fighter. As a promoter, that is your job.
Yeah.
You screwed up. Screwed
Bad
up.
Move. Bad move, brother.
You know, when he books this guy, he books Ortiz into a fight. You know, I mean, did he give him a lot of preparation time? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, were you keeping tabs on this guy? Were you, you know, was this, because this just happened this week. Your main event falls out. Like, come on, man. Get it together over there.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Juan Holoquin says, why can't it be a co-promotion? Charlo Munguia be a co-promotion? It would have been a – I mean, they would have definitely mentioned Golden Boy in that promotion. But the thing is, it's not really big enough to be a co-promotion. You know what I mean? Usually those type of situations are where, you know, when they're splitting TV fees and everything like that, and they've got it on both, you know, both channels and everything, those are usually – reserved for bigger fights.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the PBC schedule coming out. All right. So PBC and Showtime released their schedule. We're going to go over these fights here. March 26th is going to be Tim Zhu, which we already talked about, with Terrell Gachet. That's going to be a good one. Yeah, Terrell Gachet is from Cleveland, buddy.
That's a B. I'm going to grade him, right? That's a
all
B.
Right. All right. April 9th, Erickson Lubin versus Sebastian Fundora. That's a B.
That's a B.
Tony Harrison on that undercard. All right. Now, this is Showtime pay-per-view, April 16th, Errol Spence versus Yordanis Ugas.
That's an A.
Well, let's take a look. You got Radza Butiev on the undercard against Imanta Stanois. That's a good fight.
That's an A.
That's a real good fight. Brandon Lee also on that undercard. That's an A.
A.
Zachary Ochoa. Yeah, Brandon Lee, I tell you, is one of those guys you got to watch, man. That's a good...
Fun to watch.
Yeah, that's an A. That's a viable card, man.
Correct, yeah.
May 14th, we got Brian Castano versus Jamel Charlo. That's
A.
An A. I want to see that one again. You also got Boots Ennis on that undercard versus Christina Clayton, who's undefeated.
That's an A.
A, I think. May 21st, David Benavides versus David Lemieux.
D.
That's a solid C minus, son.
That's a D. Like, B gives it a D.
Yeah, I don't. David Lemieux is just he's another fighter on the dark side of his career. They could have done much better for Benavidez in this fight. Put it that way.
That's going to bring the grade down a little bit.
Grade. They could have done much better, you know, for Benavidez. May 28th in Brooklyn on Showtime pay per view. Gervonta Tank Davis versus Rolando Romero, Raleigh Romero. That is an F minus. All right. If we could give it a Z, we would. That is a horrible pay-per-view right there. That fight shouldn't even be on Showtime, let alone pay-per-view, son.
That's going to bring the grade down.
That is awful. Awful. And the fact that it's a pay-per-view... I thought that this wasn't a pay-per-view, but now they're saying it is a pay-per-view.
That's a B.
Yeah, that's awful. Would not
Sorry,
pay
Eric.
For that at all. That's
Sorry,
enough.
Sorry, Eric. It's a B.
That's an F.
Or an F.
F
either
F.
one.
Yeah, F minus. Terrible. June 4th from Minneapolis. Stephen Fulton versus Danny Roman. 12
that's
rounds
an a.
for Fulton's WBC and WBO 122-pound titles. I like that fight a lot.
That's an A.
David Morrell also on that undercard versus Calvin Henderson. That's a good – I would. That's a B. That's a B. That's not a – I wouldn't get crazy with it. I would say that's a B. June 18th in Houston, Jamal Charlo versus Maciej Suleski.
That's an F.
Oh.
I hate that fight.
Wow.
That's an F. That's a double F minus.
Oh, wow.
What do you give it?
I give it an F. I give it an F.
I fucking love it.
Tommy Boxeo, thank you so much. He said, watching the show right now and enjoying it, watching all the way from Canada. Keep up the good work, guy. I love Tommy Boxeo, man.
I was about to say, I love Tommy Boxeo, too, man.
He's
Tommy
always
Boxeo.
Keeping us updated on social media and stuff like that. He always finds these articles.
He's a great guy, man.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's
a great.
Awesome.
If he ever comes to Boston, I'll
he will take you to some of his patented massage parlors over there. So
yeah, get your nice Swedish massage. Take you to my hot spots.
My Swedish massage.
You can stay in the spare room. Don't get any funny ideas. Maybe you could stay in the spare room. Don't worry about it.
What's the matter with
show you around the town, take you to the squire down the street.
Squire.
Nice one, squire.
What's a squire?
The squire?
Yeah, what is that?
The nice female entertainment bar.
Oh, stop it, Beeb. What's the matter with you? It's a family show.
I have a strip joint literally 3 minutes from my house.
You're right over. Be over after the podcast here.
It's only a $10 cover to get in there.
That's not bad. That's not bad
at
all. Let's see here.
They do Swedish massages there too.
July 9th, Mark Maxayo versus Ray Vargas.
That's a B.
That's a B. Not bad. So overall, about a C. They got some good fights on there. They got some not good fights on there.
So you give the schedule a C. I give the schedule a B minus.
How do you give it a B minus? You give it a double F.
Well, technically, it's an F.
You
give
it a D and an F. And, I mean, you know, what's the matter with you?
Give it a C.
All right. Mike Tyson, Beeb. You know how he's got this big weed farm going on now?
Yeah, I saw that.
All right, so
Fox,
he's selling...
He's on Fox Channel. He's on the Fox Channel.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. So he's making these gummies. Apparently you can, you know, they're edible, you know, edible weed, I guess. You know, you take these and you feel better or whatever the case may be, that are shaped like ears with a bite taken out of the ear.
Yeah.
So he's kind of capitalizing on the whole Evander Holyfield thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny, man. Some people don't like it. Some people think, you know, but I like it, man. I thought it was good.
That was cool.
Was pretty good. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a good marketing claim. I thought it was a good marketing gimmick.
Let me ask you a question about marijuana. I've never smoked marijuana. I never had marijuana in my system at all in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Some people tell me it relaxes them. Other people tell me it makes them anxious. Have you ever ingested marijuana, whether it be edible or smoke it at all?
No. So from what I understand about it, because it's like legal here in Ohio.
Yeah, it's legal here too.
And it's like, but you have to have like prescriptions for it.
No, you don't even have to have prescriptions for it. You can use it here.
So up there is just, you know, just free for all.
Wild West. We have places yeah.
All right. So up here you have to have prescriptions.
From Boston.
That's how they do it in Boston. You know, well, up here it's a little bit more regulated because we're civilized people. So you have to have like a prescription for it or whatever. And it's supposed to, from what I understand, it's supposed to take like, if you have like aches and pains and stuff like that, it's supposed to take that away. They have like a list of like things that you have to have, like arthritis, or if you have going under treatment for cancers or anything like that, you can, I guess you can get a prescription and take the stuff. And it's supposed to be like a really good pain reliever. Now, I haven't heard anything like it's supposed to amp you up or anything like that, but it's supposed to be like a really good relaxing pain reliever. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Little Penny says, I don't think you can eat marijuana. You most certainly can.
They got those gummies.
They got edibles. They got edibles.
Butters
and
all kinds of stuff, yeah.
All types of stuff, and you can eat. You most certainly can eat it.
Yeah. Sure. Little Penny, where are you from?
He's from New Zealand.
Is he from New Zealand?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that explains it then. Yeah.
Whoa!
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, maybe they get the news a little bit later there. I don't know.
Jeez. The views of Eric Loader are not shared by Joe Habib or the staff here at Ringside Reporter or Beeb Industries.
I get in trouble all the time at home for things I say, and I'm like, you guys are way too sensitive. And then I come on here, and then, like, you're like, the views and express. I get the same thing. So maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. I don't know.
Okay.
Might
it's
be
all
me.
Right.
Might be me.
You got to be you.
Marijuana. He says marijuana is illegal in New Zealand. Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, wow. Well, that makes sense why he doesn't know too much about it.
Not illegal here. It's not illegal here in Beantown, baby.
Crazy. Michigan's the same way as Boston. I mean, you go up there and it's like there's billboards everywhere, like get weed here and everything like
that.
You got
a casino up here now too, man? And we're opening up another casino pretty soon too, man.
Nice.
Once they start making the Swedish massages legal, we'll be legit.
That's awesome. Yeah, I might move to Boston then. There you go. All right, so keeping in context with the show today, more bad news for Golden Boy. Triple G is suing Golden Boy for $3 million, claiming that they never received money from the last Canelo rematch. In the lawsuit, Golovkin seeks, quote, not less than $3 million in damages from Golden Boy for profits owed mostly from gate receipts and sponsorships. Golovkin also wants the interest on the $9 million it took Golden Boy nearly 3 years after the fight to pay him. What is going on?
You know who else is suing them? Sergey Kovalev said he didn't get all his money from the Canelo fight either.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Fucking Golden Boy, man.
You know,
they
give the money to the commission pays them. I've never seen anybody from like the UFC come out and say they all complain about fighter pay. All right, Fishnet's promotion is done. Fight Doctor with the line of the night here. You know, we've always seen like, you know, I've never seen anybody come back to Dana White and say, hey, he owes me money that I never got paid.
No, they may complain about how much they get, but they never say they weren't paid what they were supposed to get paid.
I don't understand, like, why this is so hard to do. I mean, we heard, like, Floyd doing this with Logan Paul. We heard, I don't understand why it's not as cut and dry.
Well, it depends on the person you're dealing with, you know.
Dana White should buy Golden Boy.
Yeah.
Dana White should buy Golden Boy.
Yeah. I don't think he'd want to deal with the headaches, though. He'd go crazy in boxing because he wouldn't be able to do what he wants.
Or he got to start in boxing.
Yeah, but
he's wanted to come back for a long time. That place has got to be wide open. I mean, can you imagine what the books on that place look like? Can you imagine opening, like, their financial records? I couldn't even fathom that. Like, to see how much they're really worth? Dude, come on. Stop it. It's awful. Big fight coming up June 18th. Arthur Betterbe versus Joe Smith is apparently, according to Coppinger, has been set for June 18th. Babe, you like that fight?
Love the fight.
I love it, man.
Let me just say this. I'm sounding like an asshole right now, but I'm actually hoping Triple G loses. So then that fight won't happen, and then Canelo could possibly fight the winner of this fight instead. I'm hoping Murata beats Triple G, which I think he
wow.
I think he most certainly can do it.
That's awful. Why would you wish for a fighter to lose, dude?
For the sake of
that's just being a hater, man. Why would you say that?
For the sake of the fans.
For the sake of the fans.
I'm not really interested in a third fight between Golovkin and Canelo, to be honest.
Still, I'm not either, but I don't really wish a guy to lose.
I don't want him to get hurt.
Well, it sounds like you do.
No.
It sounds like it.
No. We'll never do that.
Yeah, right.
From boxing.
Yeah, I hope he loses too, to be honest with you. I'll tell you what, because I really do not want to see that third Triple G fight. And I do think Murata's going to beat him. It's in Japan, right?
Isn't it?
They rescheduled it for Japan?
Yeah.
That's going to be, I tell you what, that's a tough fight. That's a tough fight for Golovkin, man.
It's right around the corner, too.
Yeah. And I tell you what, if he doesn't look good in that fight, that third Canelo fight ain't coming. Do you believe that? I mean, like, if he doesn't look good or it's a razor thin decision or whatever, I don't know that fight takes place.
Yeah.
Cause the expiration date on that fight was gone when they fought the first time. You know, I thought it took place a little bit too late the first time, the second time, definitely. And now the third time for sure that's passed, you know. But apparently, from what Chacal was telling me, that a lot of people in Mexico want to see that fight. A lot of the Mexicans want to see it.
Which I'm shocked.
I am too, but they want to see him getting knocked out. You know?
I'm shocked.
Fight Doctor said he'd like to see Canelo stop Golovkin.
He hates him, doesn't he? I'm not crazy about. I'll be honest with you. I'm not crazy about Golovkin either.
I like Golovkin, man. I like Golovkin a lot. I like him. I mean, but I think it's time now. I think it's time he's got to go. Yeah. It's his time, man. Everybody's got their time, and this is his. So we'll see what he does against Murata. I think that'll be a good fight. I think he gets beat by Murata.
Ariel Helwani was interviewing Golovkin. I think last week it was.
I saw something like that. Anything interesting come of that?
He was very evasive, Golovkin. He wasn't answering a lot of the questions. But in fairness, I mean, he wants to talk about what's in front of him instead of what's down the pike. You know what I mean? It's good to stay focused on your task at hand. I mean, I get that.
I did read that he didn't want to talk about anything past this fight.
Yeah. So.
Tommy Boxeo, thank you so much, brother. He says, did you see the Mike Tyson interview with Jamal Charlo? Apparently,
yeah.
Tyson clowned Charlo in the interview. Your thoughts? I didn't see all of it. I saw the clip that you're talking about, though.
Yeah.
And he wanted him to call out Benavides. And Charlo, you know, well, we're not afraid of anybody. We'll call out anybody. And they very pensively called out a couple of people or whatever.
Yeah.
He said,
yeah,
we'll fight anybody. He said, name them. And then he got,
it was a bad look for Charlo. He didn't look good.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't at all, you know.
I just kind of put him on the spot.
Yeah.
And he just kind of. He didn't respond well to it.
Well, and they said, nobody wants to fight Benavides. And Charlo's like, well, we're not afraid of Benavides. Call him out.
Meanwhile, they're saying he's too big. They're saying, oh, Benavides should go up to cruiserweight. He's not really a super middleweight.
What does he care? Yeah, what does he care what way he's fighting at? He's fighting at the way he's at, you know. He doesn't want to fight Benavides, no question.
He doesn't want to fight him.
No, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Benavides is a monster right now. You think Canelo just trashes Benavides? Is that easy?
I think he beats him, yeah.
Wow, man.
I think the way Benavides fights style-wise, I think it fits right into Canelo's strengths, plays right into his strengths.
Yeah.
He's not a mover. He's going to stay there and fight. He's going to stay in the pocket. I think Canelo just rips his body, just chops him down like a tree, especially to the body.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't doubt what Canelo can do because, again, man, Mundial Smith, I thought he was going to beat him. I thought, you know, all these guys that I picked, Billy Joe Saunders, and I didn't necessarily pick them all to win, but I thought they were going to give them good fights.
Yeah.
And Canelo just washed them guys, man. I mean, he's on, like, a different level, right?
This Bivol fight is going to be interesting because Bivol's a good fighter.
The ball's a very good fighter.
He's tall, he's long, he's crafty, he's got a good jab.
But I don't think he's going to be able to handle that pressure very well. I'm anxious to see how he handles the pressure.
Yeah, I mean, I think Canelo's going to be favored, but I'm wondering if it's going to be tough. He's going to have to work for that one. Because I'll be honest with you, I thought Caleb Plant did a good job against Canelo before he got knocked out. I thought it was a competitive fight.
Fight Doctor says Alvarez has chosen the path of least resistance. Come on, son, stop it.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't crazy about the Canelo Golovkin fight, but I think the Bivol fight's a good fight.
Who has he not fought? Let's put it that way. That you'd like to see him fight aside from Benavides, who has he fought that he's not fought that could give him a problem? Charlo's not going to give him a problem.
Yeah, he's
not. Benavides would give him a problem, I think. That's just my opinion.
Sure.
Bivol will give him a problem. May give him a problem. Better Beav or Joe Smith may give him problems.
Yeah, I'd love to see him fight the winner of that fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, to say he's taking the path of least resistance, come on, man, that's just not being fair.
Yeah. A lot of people wanted to see him fight Charlo and Benavides.
I did. I'd much rather see him fight Charlo and Benavides than Bivol and Golovkin.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it. Bivol is a much tougher test than Charlo.
I think Bivol is a tougher test than both Charlo and Benavides, in my opinion. But
he's a very good fighter.
It's debatable.
Fighter.
You know?
Now, Golovkin's a different animal.
I'm not crazy about that. Like I said, maybe I'll get up for it when it comes close, but.
Well, and it could be just one of those styles make fights things. You know, I mean, He's Fight Doctor says the Golovkin trilogy. Who wants to see that? I don't, and neither does Joe. But that being said, there's still a lot of hoops to jump through before that even comes to pass.
Yeah.
And he's got to beat Murata, which isn't going to be a short order. I mean, that's a big order to talk, you know, in Japan.
Fight.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing, man.
That's why I'm hoping Golovkin loses, so Canelo can fight the winner of Joe Smith versus Beterbiev.
Beterbiev, yeah.
And I think Joe Smith is live in that fight. I really do. But
against Beterbiev?
Yeah, but no one sees it.
No.
Everyone thinks Beterbiev is going to crush him, but I just think Joe Smith's pretty good from the outside. He's got pretty quick hands. He's a good volume puncher. I think he can make that fight interesting. Beterbiev's more of a mid-range guy. He's a squares up. He's kind of very kind of a stalking guy. You know, clubber type guy.
Yeah.
Very strong and powerful guy, but, you know, not the greatest defensively, not the greatest on his feet either, not a big mover.
I think it's a fun fight. I think it's a
really
fun
fight to watch.
Yeah, I think it's a real fun fight to watch, man.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Mayweather fought stiffer opposition than Canelo. Stop it. Stop it. You're being silly now. You think Mayweather fought stiffer opposition than Canelo?
Comparable resumes. I mean, Mayweather fought Cotto. He fought De La Hoya.
He fought De La Hoya. De La Hoya was shot when they fought, son.
He fought Maidana was a good fight for him. I still think the Canelo challenge was a good fight because Mayweather was like 37 when he fought him, so he wasn't in his prime either.
Yeah.
Obviously, he fought Pacquiao, Castillo. Corrales, Gennaro Hernandez.
Early Floyd was tough to beat, man.
Yeah.
Early Floyd was tough to beat. Yeah, maybe they are comparable. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're comparable.
All right, guys, that is the news. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 or find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at Ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.